Good morning. Would you guys pray with me? Faithful and loving Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you that we can gather side by side this morning to glorify you, to seek you, to ask for your continued abidance in us as we abide in you. Lord, we come just as we are, with all that we are, with hurts, discouragement, confusion, joy, hope, asking that you be present to the depths of us. Thank you for moving in all the ways that are seen and unseen around us, and we ask that you'd continue to be moving in our communities, in our state, in our country, and in our world. Lord, where there's oppression, where there's violence, where there's injustice, or where there's suffering, would your kingdom come and would your love transform? Lord, in this unique morning, draw our attention to you. Strengthen our faith, open our eyes, fill this space with your Holy Spirit and transform our hearts. Would all that's done here this morning go beyond just words or actions, but change us and go out through us to love our neighbors, to give hope to the hopeless, and care for the least of these. To yours be all the honor, the glory, the praise forever and ever. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your grace. And we have yet to discover the depths and the breadth and the heights of that. So let us press in to discover that power, that love, that welcome. Lord, we pray as Melody comes to share the word with us this morning that you would open our hearts wide. Give us ears to hear. We are your family, Lord. We are your people. Speak to us, Lord, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, I think we can all leave. We got some good music in our bones now. Our lead pastor, Grant Miles-Era, his lovely wife in the band this morning. We got George and Justin, who love attention. That's all right. They know me. Yeah. Well, my name is Melody, and I am one of the pastors here at New Song today, and I am so glad that you are gathered here, that you are here today. Hey, Chris. We are rocking out, but, you know, today you're here, whether it's your 100th time, your millionth time, your first time, you were meant to be here today. Do we believe that? Amen. We believe that. And we do miss you when you are gone. One of the first messages of this side-by-side series, the first challenge, do you remember, was show up. Show up, show up, show up. And you miss out when you are not here, and we miss out on you being here. So I'm so glad you're here today. As I mentioned, we're walking through this series side by side, living the one another life, building community through the one another life. And we've talked about these commands that we receive in the Bible. Can you say them with me? We've talked about loving one another, encouraging one another, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And today, we are talking about pray for one another. And I know that this phrase gets tossed around quite a bit, would you say, or given out or spoken? Would we agree with that? How many times have we said or have we heard, I'll pray for you? Would you say you've heard it? We may have been on the receiving end or the giving end of that. And I think, especially if we are on the giving end of that, we, it is well-meaning. It is very well-meaning. But I think that sometimes, and if we're honest about it, sometimes, you know, we say it because maybe we don't know what else to say, we don't know what else to do, and we respond to something with, I'll pray for you. And, you know, I don't want to take away from when you say, I'll pray for you, you mean these words. I don't want to take away from that. But I think it might be used sometimes as just a blanket response, as a polite, I'll pray for you. We may say those words sometimes in that way. But this command here, you know, pray for one another. I don't know, when you look at bearing with one another, forgiving one another, serving one another, encouraging, this might sound like the simplest one, the go-to response. But as I just said, I don't know, because I think this one requires a lot of intentionality from us. A lot of intentionality, because, and I'm going through the fill in the blanks already if you're following along, because to pray for someone, you have to be actively involved. It requires active involvement in that, not in passing, but with intention. So let's look at our text today. The word of the Lord is this morning, James 5, 13 through 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is the word of the Lord. So to pray for one another is truly a holy calling. It is a holy calling in Scripture. And the person who's writing this, James, he is writing to a church that is scattered. They are struggling. They are sick. They are discouraged. They are all the negative things. They are going through it right now. And you know, if you notice, he doesn't say, you know, his instruction is get around a table, figure out how to fix it. He doesn't say, you know, give each other advice. Let's form a committee about this. What does he say? He says, pray for one another. And I think to bring someone else's name before God, to bring their situation or circumstance before God, whether we're celebrating something in a joyous occasion or we're praying a desperate prayer for them, the good, the bad, the ugly, the mysterious, here he is calling. He's saying, is anyone in trouble? Is anyone happy? Is anyone singing song? He is including all of this in this calling. He is calling us to pray for one another. So I'd like to start off this morning with a visual aid. I have some helpers here that are going to grab my visual aid. I've dropped some of them here. Any day, a little faster. Chop, chop. You know, you're on the soccer field all the time. I know you can run. Would you give my visual aid helpers a hand? There they go. All right. What you will see in front of you here, and what I will try to describe for those listening online this morning, but if you're not here, can we say they missed it? They missed it. Where are you? We're all here. Where are you? But that's fine. What I will try to describe in front of you here, what does it look like? What? A fantasy football draft. I don't even know what you just said, Ron. I don't know anything about that. It does seem like, okay, well, apparently I'm the only one not in the know. But these are prayer cards that have been filled out. Some of them are connect cards that have been filled out with prayer requests on them. And it's so funny, you know, with all the time we spend up here, hey, there's a prayer card, you guys do whatever you want, so that's fine. You know, as long as we get them, we get your proper information, fill out whatever you want. But these are prayer cards. I don't really mean that. Justin's going to throw something at me from back there. These are prayer cards that we have in our possession. Would anyone like to take a guess about how many cards are on these boards combined? Look, I knew Cooper was going to start counting from right there immediately. Anyone want to guess? Throw out a number. 200, 180. 158. At least 200? 120. That's super specific. Is that you, Colleen? Any other guesses? 500, 850. There is almost 1,000 prayer requests on these cards in front of you right now. And not only are there 1,000 requests, but I have about 100 more here in my hand. Oh, I lost the other pile somewhere. I have about 100 more in my hand. I have notebooks in my hand where I keep track of our emails that come in with prayer requests. I brought up too many visual aids. I have different notes here from different meetings, from men's and women's night, from small groups, from different things that we have done over time. So I would say even on these papers, there's probably about 500 more between this and my my notebooks combined. If you see this box in front of me, some of you know what is in that box. We have a prayer wall back there. Do you see it? It's back there. We have this last year in November, almost a year ago, we cleared that out and refolded out all those rolled pieces of paper. And those are prayer requests that are completely anonymous. We don't unroll those. We don't see what is said in those. Those are completely anonymous. But we come in and we pray over those from time to time. The prayer team prays over those from time to time. So I think between that wall, these boards, that box, I would say we're up to about 3,000 now, I would say, because that in this box is about 8 years worth of prayer requests. And then our online prayer wall. I don't know what's hitting. Is it my earring? I'm sorry. I wore my quiet earrings. I'm taking it off right now. Our online prayer wall holds about 900 prayer requests. So I would guesstimate that in our possession as New Song Church, we have somewhere, I would say a safe guess is about 5,000 prayer requests in our midst right now. In our midst right now. So pray for one another. Pray for one another. I can assure you with 1,000% certainty that when you fill out one of these cards, when you fill out a roll, when you submit something online, when you share something with a group, I can guarantee you with 1,000% certainty that it does not get lost in the abyss somewhere. This is by design. It is not by accident. And we pray and we take those things seriously. Heaven has heard what is in our midst. Will you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, as we look at these prayer cards in front of us, Lord, as we maybe think about the prayer wall, as we look at the box, Lord, you know every single detail of every single one of those things, God. God, we know actually some of those prayers have been answered. We don't know if some of those prayers have been answered. Lord, but you know everything. And with 1,000% certainty, we know that we can take these things to you again and lay them at your feet. Lord, I pray for every single prayer that is represented, that is held in the midst of New Song Church. Lord, I pray for those things in your name, along with all my brothers and sisters here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And just FYI, all the names, all the information is covered up. So that no one would, so that we wouldn't breach anyone's confidentiality. So I could stop right here, right? I could stop and say, this is awesome. We're doing a good job. You know, there's 5,000 prayers in our prayer midst. You know, it seems like we know what it is to pray for one another. But I would like to share with you something really interesting that happened last week. Now, if you're new here, you know that we talk about this midweek text message that or you may not know. Now you're hearing about it. We send out this midweek text message, right? We've all heard about that, yes? Now, we send out a passage to read and a question to ponder, and we say, hey, respond to this with any thoughts, with any, you know, questions, with any prayer requests. And so we send that out midweek. Now, here was the question that was sent out. Has someone ever said a prayer or prayers over you in a specific or significant way? And how did that impact you or not impact anything for you? Also, right, on the flip side, Have you ever prayed for someone in a specific or significant way? And how did that prayer impact them or not impact them? And we said, you know, you don't have to be specific, it's just a general notion. That was the text message sent out this week. And sure, there are weeks that, who got that, right? Who got that? Yeah. There are weeks that are lighter than others in response. We've played around with the timing of things. We've played around with, you know, the day, the whatever. And there are weeks that our responses are lighter than others. But this week was super light. Was super, super light. And Grant and I got to talking, and we asked ourselves, is it possible, could it be possible that praying for someone or letting someone pray for you is actually more challenging than we like to admit? Is it more challenging? And again, prayer might sound simple, but it is so personal, right? You're opening up your heart. You're letting someone in to your need, or you are stepping into someone else's pain. And sometimes, right, sometimes that level of honesty may be a bit uncomfortable, maybe a bit heavy, maybe a bit awkward. Sometimes that level of honesty requires a level of vulnerability that doesn't come easy with us. Can I trust this person? Can I trust this group? Can I trust whoever's reading the card behind this? So together, I'd like to look at what this command looks like and why it might be difficult, but what we can do. So number one, praying for each other. Prayer for one another means participation in each other's lives. So I think we often, again, because we're a society that goes, that, you know, we get things delivered to our door, same day, shipping, we're pretty quick about what we get, how we get it. Our lives are pretty comfortable, yeah? Our lives are pretty comfortable. And I don't know that sometimes we remember what happens when we pray for someone. When you bring someone's name before God, when you bring someone's situation before the throne, their struggle, their pain, their story, heaven hears that. Heaven hears that, and something moves in heaven, and it is your prayer. It is my prayer. So our prayers become this connection point, right? This bridge between earth and heaven. Our prayers become this bridge between God's power and someone's need. That's what happens when we pray for someone. This verse in James isn't just like an ancient text, right? An ancient command, an ancient, this is a good idea. It is alive and a command for us to pay attention to, because with 1,000% certainty, we can believe that when we lift someone's name up, heaven responds. Now, how heaven responds is an entirely different sermon series. That's not for today. But James' call is for us to pray for one another. And he's saying here, you have access as believers in Christ to Jesus. Now, it also points us to this fantastic, unbelievable, you know, history moment of change truth. Because before Jesus, right, we've heard in here, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but before Jesus, before in the Old Testament, people had to go to a priest, and the priest had to go to a temple to ask for prayer for someone. So they had to go and ask for someone to pray on their behalf. But when Jesus came and he died, that barrier was broken. That barrier was broken, and it's accessible to all who believe. You don't need an appointment. You don't need a title. You don't need to be a priest. You're you, and you have access through Jesus because Jesus made the way. So when you're praying for someone, right, you're not just sending good thoughts. You're standing. Right? Imagine that you're standing in this sacred space, in this holy and sacred space, as you bring their situation before God. And our prayers are important aspect of how we participate in each other's lives. And sometimes that prayer is fun and joyful and praise God. But sometimes that prayer is heavy and not easy and painful even. I've shared this story in here before. Some of you know this. One of these moments for my life where prayer felt impossibly heavy and still feels impossibly heavy was early in the morning. You know that phone call that you get at 2 a.m. and you know something is wrong. And a friend of mine called and said their 9-year-old daughter died suddenly out of nowhere. And I remember sitting there in the dark holding the phone like, what do you even say in a moment like that? What do you even pray? I didn't have the words. I just prayed. I think I even screamed, God be near, God be near, God be near, God be near, God be near. And I remember just holding the phone and just tears wouldn't stop. And it was the most broken prayer, God be near. That was it. But I know that heaven heard that. In Romans 8, it says this, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I know some of you in here have had those groans where you just don't have the words. And when all we can do is whisper Jesus or this person's name or whatever it is, our call to participate in each other's lives still stands, whether it's heavy or easy and in the moment. Praying for one another means that we carry each other's burdens. Paul wrote in Galatians 6, he says, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And this is when we, you know, theoretically, right, we pick up the weight of someone that someone else is carrying, and they may be too tired to lift. Have you been there? Have you done that? I'm always too tired to lift anything. I always call whoever's nearby, hey, who's in the kitchen? You know? Or these guys who share office spaces together. Grant, are you in your office? Justin, Steven, Ben, where's everybody? I'm always too tired to carry something. But this, where it says, carry each other's burdens, this is where we pick up the weight, where someone is tired of lifting, where we perhaps step underneath someone's weight with them. Have you been there? Or has that been done for you? It's not that we take the weight away. It's not that we take the pain away, but we can distribute it more evenly across our backs together, right? Across our backs together, and we can help carry it. And this is why Paul says in Corinthians, you help us by your prayers. He didn't say, you texted us. That was impossible back then, right? But he didn't say anything. He says, you help us by your prayers. There's also a time where a lot of you know this about our family, where so many people were helping carry a burden for our family. Many of you know that on Christmas Eve morning, several years ago, my mom was nearing the very end of her life very suddenly, and the doctor called me Christmas Eve morning and said that she only had days. She didn't actually even know how long she had. And the first person I had to deliver this news to was my dad. But before I told him, I went to my church community and I said, please pray now, as I am about to deliver the worst news of his life. And I took him in the garage away from where my mom was, and I began telling him through tears, and he became unglued. And through loud, desperate, sobbing tears, he kept saying, no, this can't be happening. What are you saying to me? And I prayed, Lord Jesus, be near. No, Melody, what are you saying? What exactly did the doctor say? Dad, mom is dying. Lord Jesus, be near. Lord, come to us now. Give us peace. I prayed through disbelief. I prayed more. Through his desperation, I prayed more. And I got louder and louder and louder as he sobbed. And I prayed continuously in that moment until finally he became quiet and I said, amen. And I said, amen. I prayed what little I could. And I know the only way that I got through that moment was because I had so many people who were helping us carry the weight of that burden together. That's the only way I got through that moment. The only way I got through that moment without feeling like everything was falling apart. Are you in a place where you need others, someone, to help you carry a weight? Are you in that moment of need? Are you in that moment of need where it feels so overwhelming, where you don't know and you are too tired to lift? And I know that maybe not all of us are in that moment, but there are people in here in that moment. The weight is best carried together. Praying for one another means love in action. Now let me ask you something, right? This is a terrible transition, but what are you gonna do? It's how we do it, right? What would you do if I spontaneously caught on fire up here? What would you do? Run out the door? Who said that? My husband? What did you say? Chris is like, I don't know, someone can save her. We have four kids, someone has to live. What'd you say, Alec? Get the hose. The hose is outside, Alec. It's too far. Fire extinguisher. Okay, so thank you. Everyone will save me except Chris Anderson. I don't have another visual aid coming up right now, so no worries. There's no flames coming onto stage. I thought about, like, you know, how they do in some rides and stuff where it gets really hot in the room, but we're not going to do that today. Beyond, you know, maybe running towards me with all your heart to save me, darling, beyond that, some of you might tackle me and physically roll me. Some of you might get the fire extinguisher. But what is the most likely thing you might yell?
Fire.
Well, yes. That's pretty obvious, my friends. It's pretty obvious I'm on fire. But what else would you say? Help! Oh, we're getting no. Say that again.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Stop, drop, and roll. We learned this in kindergarten, guys. Come on. We need a refresher. Stop, drop, and roll. That might be the most helpful thing to tell me to do, right? Because I might be losing my mind right now, right? Stop, drop, and roll. So I'd stop, drop, and roll. That would be the most helpful thing to do. And I think sometimes when we don't know, you know, where to look for help, or we don't know where the nearest help will come from, I think the best thing sometimes, the most loving thing to do for someone is stop, drop, and pray. I know I've texted this to many, many of you in here. I'm going to stop, drop, and pray right now. Stop, drop, and pray. Because, you know, not later. Not I'll be praying for you, right? That blanket comment that we just talked about. But maybe right there in the moment, prayer is action. Prayer is love in action. And for many of us, I know that sometimes I feel like this, like, okay, what can I do? Like, you know, sometimes, I mean, would you agree? This is not negative. I'm not judging at all. But prayer can sometimes feel passive, yes? Like, what can I do? What can I make? What can I take? What can I buy? What can I give? And we like doing things that show results, you know, and I think that I've come across so many of us that feel like we almost might feel like we're doing nothing, but that's so opposite of what the Bible tells us to do. Prayer is doing something, and perhaps the most powerful thing we can do. The most powerful thing we can do, because we're saying, living God in this moment, God of miracles in this moment, God of everything, please step into the middle of this story, of this situation. Maybe there's nothing you can do to fix it. They're in the moment, right? There's nothing you can give, nothing you can say, nothing you can make or take that's going to make it right. But this is when prayer becomes action. We're going to stop, drop, and pray right now. And you may not even be with the person, right? You may not even be with them. You just might know, or they may just come to mind. John 3:18 says, "Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." And I think sometimes when we see this, we say action is something visible, right? Cooking a meal, writing a note, showing up in person. And yes, that action is all good and necessary. But prayer in action is also good and necessary. And Paul says it again in Galatians, "Bear with one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We will not be able to remove the burden 99 out of 100 times. But we can get under the weight of it. We can help bear it by holding their name before God. And prayer is love in action when really there's nothing else to be done. One of those times where our family stopped, dropped, and prayed was with our friends, Justin and Electra Allen. Justin was on the amazing electrical guitar today, and Electra is always, always, always in the sound booth. She's always around. Several years ago, during the pandemic, well, I guess it is one of them, but during this one, several years ago, during the pandemic, one of their beloved dogs, Bailey, had gone into the vet's office to get a little something removed off her nose. Well, that same day, Bailey developed an infection, and the infection led to some seizures and led to this and led to that, and it quickly took a turn for the worse, and it ended up being fatal for their beloved Bailey. You know, they didn't expect this to happen. They were devastated. They were communicating with us on staff via text, and we were all brokenhearted for them. And a little while after we received the news, probably, I don't know, an hour, maybe even two later, our family, my husband Chris, our four kids, we were driving somewhere else, and we had kind of no idea where Justin and Electra were, what hospital they were at. We didn't know anything about, like, if they were going to see Bailey at the hospital. But as we were driving down Glendora Avenue, we saw our friends outside the animal hospital saying goodbye to their beloved Bailey. And Chris and I turned and looked at each other, and I probably made the biggest illegal U-turn I've made in my life. And I turned around, and we pulled into the parking lot. And at first, we didn't say anything, because we just couldn't stop crying with them. We couldn't stop crying with them. And right there in the parking lot, tears in our eyes, we prayed that God would comfort them. Comfort them and hold their hearts. Prayer is for all the places where life hurts. Prayer is for all the places where life hurts. And many of you in here, I can't believe how many of you in here have just recently lost your beloved companions. And prayer is for that, is for your heart, and is for all the places that life hurts. And we stopped, and we dropped, and we prayed with them in that moment. And in this case, this is how love acts when there is nothing else to be done, and all you can do is stand shoulder to shoulder, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter what the circumstance. Stop, drop, and pray. Prayer for one another means that we are connected to the healer. The healer. James says in chapter 5, he says, "Pray for one another so you may be healed." And notice he says you. He's not being super specific about who that you is. Because there could be a mutual healing that happens in a prayer when we pray for others. I know that when I'm praying for someone who's hurting, it softens my heart. It softens my heart. It may do that for you. It keeps my heart tender, And it gets me out of my head and my circumstance and my worries and my struggles. It kind of pulls me out of being a little self-centered. It pulls me out of me and my world and my problems and my worries when I am praying for someone else. I think sometimes when we pray for someone, we not only invite God into the wound or the pain that they are carrying, but you let him touch your wounds, the wounds that you carry, that you may not even realize you carry it. And one of those moments for me was last year with Ron McDonald right there, and his card is somewhere on here, and I know he doesn't care if I share this story, but he was having incredible problems with back surgery, incredible problems. And I, you know, you guys know I had 2 back surgeries last year, and I was just so miserable and so depressed and so blah about everything. I had a cane. I wanted to bedazzle it. That didn't do me any good. I named her Taylor because I'm a Swifty fan. That didn't do me any good. I was so blah about everything about my recovery, my life, my back. I was miserable. And then Ron comes in. And we pray over him before he went in for his surgery. Wow, that moment. I'm so thankful for that moment, Ron.
It worked.
It also worked. Yeah. You know, I think I lost my page here. Yeah, there's something about healing and praying for healing or praying for help or praying for whatever it is that changes from God fix me to God help him. God see this about what I'm carrying. No, God see them about what they're carrying. And I think that makes our hearts tender because we are connected and we are praying to the person, to the one who heals everything. What that healing looks like is different. Again, another sermon for another time. And prayer for one another, it's not about control. It's about surrender. Now let me tell you, this is the section that I have been living in this week. You know how we stand here and we say it preaches to us before we can come preach to everyone else? This one hit home for me this week. And I'll say it again. I'll say it out loud. Why don't we read that all together? Prayer for one another is not about control. It's about surrender. When we pray for someone, I think we're saying like, God, I trust you with this person. I trust you with this person. And that is not an easy thing to do. That is not an easy thing to do. When my mom was just a few years older than I am now, she could not control us anymore. There was 4 of us. We weren't terrible kids. We weren't perfect. Ron is like, Melody, I might know some things. No, but we were all right kids. We weren't doing anything crazy or going to jail or anything like that, but like she just couldn't control us anymore, and she also couldn't surrender us at all. And it led to a nervous breakdown. She had a nervous breakdown because she couldn't do these things. So when we say, God, I trust you with this person, right? Especially if it's someone you love so much. That is hard. And I think it's one thing to say, God, I trust you with my story. Because I can kind of see what you're doing. I can kind of see where you're leading. I can kind of see where you're going. But when it is trusting God in someone else's life, when you don't get to see everything, when you don't get to control everything, I think when we can't make sense of their decisions, when we can't make sense of their plans, when we can't fix their stuff, when it seems like they just keep hitting one challenge after another, after another, after another, this is where surrender really becomes real. Because surrender is hard. I think we fear disappointment. What happens if God doesn't do what I hope he will do? What happens if nothing changes? I am living in that right now. Not with anyone in this room, with extended family, but I am living that right now. Like, Lord, I give you this, but could you kind of do what I want to do, because that's what I want to happen. But I can't. I can't do that. I shouldn't say anything else. This is recorded. Okay. Prayer doesn't guarantee outcomes, but it does guarantee God's presence to you. It does guarantee that you are taking their name before the Lord, and whether they talk to the Lord or not, that is, again, not up to you, not up to me. That is what God is doing in their life, but we have to say, I trust in God to do what he's going to do. And surrender means, God, I don't understand it, but I am going to trust you. And this is where we say prayer is both vertical and horizontal. Thank God I did that right. Did I do that right? I always do the opposite. Prayer is both vertical and horizontal. It's me, it's you, and it's God, right? It's me, it's you, it's God, it's me, it's you, it's you, it's whoever you're praying for, and God. And we're enfolding that person in his love, in his will. We're praying for their presence. And we're saying, right, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, just like what God prayed. What a prayer of surrender, right, the Lord's prayer, which we're going to do in a minute. Surrender is hard, would you say? No, just me? Surrender is hard, would you say? We're going to pray that together in a moment. Which leads me to here. Praying for one another means praying as a community. How do we actually grow in this? How do we move from, I'll pray for you as a blanket statement, to I'm praying with you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying right now? How do we do that? Well, I can tell you two ways to do that right now, two very practical ways. Guess what everybody has in the seat back pocket in front of you? You have prayer cards and you have connect cards, because it seems like you like both, right? You have, pull out two prayer cards, please. I had helpers this morning make sure that every chair had two prayer cards and a pen in front of them. If you don't have a seat back pocket in front of you, there's probably one to the left or to the right. They made sure that there was enough for everyone. So take those out right now. I don't see half of you moving in here. Come on, just go with it. Take two prayer cards. And there's pens. Look how convenient that was. There's pens there for you too. We're going to take a minute. And again, right? Is this awkward? Maybe. Is it uncomfortable? Maybe. But it is our holy calling, and it is what we are called to do. So let's do it. For the first card, who do you need to bring before God this morning and pray for? Who do you need to bring God before God this morning and pray for? I know exactly who I need to bring before God this morning. You can write just simply their name in that little box where it says, please pray. What does it say? Request, I'm sorry. It says request. Who do you need to bring before God this morning and pray for? Who do we need to actively participate in their life? I don't know. Maybe you don't even talk to this person. But you can bring their name before the Lord. And let me tell you, if you put a name down of someone who you struggle with, what does the Lord's Prayer pray for as well? My enemies. Now, the person I'm praying for, I wouldn't consider my enemy, but it is someone I would consider someone I struggle with at the moment. But I know by writing this person's name down, the Lord is going to do something in my heart. I know it. The second card. You got your second card in your hand? What is it that you need others to pray for right now? Now, if I write someone's name down here and say, pray for, I'm just going to use Grant. Pray for Grant. And then in the second prayer card, I'm saying, pray for Grant to not do this to me, right? We're praying for the same thing. Pray for Grant. But maybe your second card needs to say, what can I do? How do I respond? How does my heart connect with his? How many people do we have in here, darling? 125, give or take? 125. I can't do math. What is that times two? What is it? I can't even hear. 250. I knew that. 250. I would love. It's going to be easy for you to just walk out of here and be like, bloop, nope, I didn't do that. Right? Yeah? It could be very easy for you. Some of you are already looking at me like, you know exactly what I'm going to do. But I would love to see 250 cards in the boxes out there. There's two boxes. Let's fill them up. Because that means 250 cards will be prayed over this week. 250 names, situations, whatever it is. You don't even have to put your name on it. We get so many anonymous cards here, you don't even have to put your name on it. But I would love to overwhelm the prayer team. I would love us to be overwhelmed as pastors as we pray for you, as a staff who love you. I would love this week to be forced to pray for hours over all these prayer cards that come in today. You know, in that same meeting where Grant and I mentioned earlier, where we were discussing the response to the text message we set out, we also talked about how the one thing that will end when we meet Jesus is prayer. Prayer is for this earth. It is for now. So why not would we take full advantage of this powerful thing we have? I'm going to have the band come up and my easel helpers come and take this down, please. Why wouldn't we take full advantage of this powerful thing? One day we will be face to face with Jesus himself, and prayer will end. We won't need it anymore because we will be with him. So I think we need to just see this and say, I'm going to use it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to lean in. And I think sometimes, too many times, I think we can use prayer as maybe a reaction instead of a rhythm of life. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And yeah, without ceasing does mean nonstop, but does that mean you don't go to work? Does that mean you don't, you know, watch a show? Does that mean, no, that doesn't mean that. But prayer without ceasing means don't stop returning to prayer. Don't stop coming back to it. Keep on praying. Time and time again. Stop, drop, and pray. to the one who doesn't crumble when our life feels like it is crumbling. And this is also the interesting thing, that if Jesus himself was on this earth and he used a lot of time to pray, Jesus, okay, why wouldn't we do the same? Why wouldn't we do the same? Jesus prayed on this earth, and he prayed for people around him. In Luke 22, he prays for Peter, and he says to Peter, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Jesus knew Peter was going to fail, right? If you know the story, Jesus knew that Peter would fail Jesus. And Jesus didn't say, I'm just going to prevent that from happening. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to make it a little bit different. Jesus said, I have prayed for you so that your faith won't fail. He prayed that Peter's faith would survive. He prayed that. And that's the kind of prayer we're called to. We can't prevent the storm. We can't prevent practically anything. But we can pray that someone's faith would hold. Someone's faith would endure when everything is shaking. We're about to sing, Christ is our firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, when rain came, when the wind blew, but my house was built on you. And I would like that to be our prayer this morning, that we would be people who not just pray together, but stand side by side, who stop, drop, and pray to the one who holds us together. So let this song remind us that we are a community of 5,000 prayers and more in our midst, and that he won't fail, and that he never has, and that he never will. Would you stand and sing this together? Did you catch that part where we sang, our house is built on you. Christ is our firm foundation, the rock in which we stand. And I can't help but think, but this communion table is the truest picture of that foundation, because at this table we remember what Jesus did for all of us. And the moment where his surrender changed everything. When Jesus gathered his disciples that night and he surrendered. This table is open to everyone who says, I want Christ to be my firm foundation, and I want it to be for those in my life, and I want to take those names to the throne of the only one who I should be building my foundation on. Pastor Stephen and I will be up here during communion. Scott and Chris in the back, hold it, and we'll take it together in a moment. We're about to pray the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, but he also lived it. And the Lord's Prayer, that is the heartbeat of what communion is. It's a prayer of release. It's a prayer of trust. It's a prayer that says, God, everything I am, everything about me, everything about my life, everything I have, I put in your hands, my bread, my cup, my everything. And when we take the bread and the cup, we're saying, I surrender. I trust my life to you, Lord, my story, the people I'm praying for. You are my firm foundation. And perhaps as we take it this morning, we can remember the person's name that we wrote on the card, what we're asking for ourselves on the card. And we can say this prayer together in community, in communion. Say, Lord, this is yours. Let's read the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, today we thank you for calling us into a life that's not meant to be lived alone. Lord, thank you for giving us to each other to love, to encourage, forgive, serve, and bear with, Lord. And Lord, even to pray for. Lord, would we take prayer so seriously? Would we know what happens when we take someone's name and when someone takes ours before you, God? Lord, we believe that heaven moves when we speak. Lord, would you move, heal, comfort, restore? And for those who are weary, Lord, those silent burdens, Lord. Lord, would they know that you know, Lord, even now. And Lord, would you encourage them that there are people who want to carry that burden with them. Lord, be with us now. And thank you that, Lord, you taught us to pray. And thank you for giving us access to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Let's do that all over again. All right, I will have you sit down for one moment because I have about 14 things I have to say. Not 14, but a few. The one thing that I will say about our gathering this morning is please, please, please don't leave without putting your prayer cards in the boxes. Also, if you feel led to drop a giving envelope in the boxes, that is also most welcome. You guys know we have our budget, we have our things that we take care of. Church is a business as well, so we partner together in that as we do that together. But please, you would also partner with me in helping me if I caught on fire. I had two people say I would help you if you caught on fire during communion, so thank you. As you leave today, there are signups. As soon as you exit, we are having a blood drive with the American Red Cross. And please tell your family, tell your friends, tell your schoolmates, tell everyone you know, right? Everywhere. Wednesday, November 5th, 1 through 7. Do they have to sign up online? They have to sign up online. Or with someone out there, yeah. So I don't think you can just show up, is what my question is. You can't just show up. So please make sure you sign up if you are available to do that. Tomorrow night, come hungry, you'll leave happy. Men and women, we are gathering tomorrow for our fall food frenzy. I have the most orange shirt I could find I'm going to wear. But we are just bringing kind of flavors of the season, all right? So we want the men to bring food. Don't just think, oh, the women got this. That's not okay. That's lame. Bring good food. I know some of you guys can cook really well. We will gather at 6:30. We will pray over our food, and then we will disperse into our groups and gather together until about 8 o'clock. So please don't miss it. We also encourage you, you know, to come together. If that's something you've never tried out and you want to try it out with a friend or a spouse or, you know, whoever, please make sure you come to that. Now it says tomorrow. I may have said a little prayer in my heart just really fast, and that's how quick Jesus answers sometimes. Thank you, Electra. This week, we also have Halloween, that if you know what it was about last year, right? Look at these kids. It is an extravagant event that Stephen and the student leaders put together, and it is just a night of fun, of Halloween party. There's candy salad, there's all sorts of junk that's going to be there, but they'll have a grand old time. So please, if you know a student or you have a neighbor, these are these moments where we get to extend our hand to our community around us. All right, the other thing is that baptisms are going to occur next Sunday. And so we have said it, we have emailed it, we have texted it. If you are interested in being baptized, please do not hesitate to contact one of us pastors, or just contact one of us, okay? Or have a conversation right now. We would love to know that we have a few baptisms happening next week. And lastly, worship night on November 8th. That is a Saturday that will be in this room at 6:30. Look at that. It appeared again as if out of nowhere. Saturday, November 8th at 6:30. And that is a time where, you know, we just have some spoken word, some wonderful music, many, many talented musicians on the stage. So please set that night aside because it is something quite special. I think I got it all. Are you there? Are you done? You've packed up. The whole band is packed up, ready to go. All right. Now, will you stand as we say a blessing to each other, for each other, as we depart our separate ways? I will say, do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. I think I have it here in my notes, but I didn't read it. A pastor friend of Grant shared this with him when they were talking about prayer, and he said, if prayer is truly what Scripture tells us is the primary means by which we experience God's kingdom and his work among us, then it stands to reason that prayer would be the primary target of powers in this world that seek to disrupt and limit God's kingdom. So do not be surprised as soon as you leave the door. Oh, I forgot everything. Everything just fell out of my head. What does it say? Pray without ceasing. Let's respond as a rhythm of life, not as a reaction, and pray without ceasing. But now, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face toward you and bring you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.